up 0.4%. The NASDAQ futures contract is up 0.5%. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Squarespace, offering an all-in-one website building platform for creating and growing businesses online. Learn more at squarespace.com. 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. This is Morning Edition, and Andy Foldenauer joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for analysis of business and financial news. He's sitting in today for Brian Ford. Hi, Andy.
Good morning, Wayne. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Well, thank you. As we discussed last week, it marked the five-year anniversary of the beginning of the stock bull market. Yet, investors marked the occasion by sending stocks lower every day last week. What's the cause of all that?
U.S. stocks were down for the week, more or less, you know, taking a breather from some of the recent gains over the past month, I would say. You know, a lot of media attention and focus is on the geopolitical uncertainty surrounding Russia and Ukraine, although, you know, it's tough to tell how much of that is directly driving the short-term market environment. You know, of other items of note, there was another round of disappointing Chinese economic data in a wide range of sectors, which, you know, weighed on most equity markets. You know, China's slowdown is sparking a debate about whether the world's second largest economy can reach its official 7.5% GDP growth target for the year. And, you know, there is no question that China's economy is slowing. More importantly, it is undertaking a rapid and strategic evolution from an economy based on high levels of manufacturing and investment to one based more on consumer spending and market efficiency. Last year, China's government laid out specific economic reforms for the next 5 years that overall would attempt to allocate resources across an economy that is more balanced, sustainable, and market-oriented, which, you know, basically implies that there will be a business environment with more competition and reduced government intervention. And we actually saw some of that earlier this month when China had its first ever corporate bond default. You know, some viewed it as a sign of a weak corporate sector in the country, but in our view, the debt default is a positive sign in that China's leaders are further embracing market forces. You know, it seems that last-minute bailouts of financially strained or insolvent companies may no longer be tolerated. So, you know, bottom line is China's growth has a profound impact on Asia and a significant effect on developed and emerging markets around the world. And it's important to keep an eye on the world's second largest economy and understand the significant shifts and reforms that are taking place there now and over the next several years.
Mm-hmm. Well, outside of stocks, are there any asset classes worth mentioning that might give you pause for concern lately?
Well, there has been notable activity in the U.S. corporate bond market in recent weeks as issuers have sold nearly $100 billion of investment-grade corporate bonds in the first 9 days of the month. You know, the first week of March was the second largest week of investment-grade bond issuance ever, and last week was on pace to crack the top 10. And, you know, usually issuers have a good feel for when it's an opportune time to tap the market, and this can be a contrarian indicator. In other words, when a record number of companies are lining up to sell bonds, it's often a good time to maybe scale back exposure. You know, more specifically, our fixed income strategies team is urging caution on high yield bonds, or also called junk bonds, which are basically bonds issued by companies with a below investment grade or lower credit rating. You know, junk bonds pay higher yields to investors for taking on more credit risk and have been popular for investors looking for extra income in this low interest rate environment. You know, several items here raise a yellow flag for us. First, you know, the amount of money pouring into this area is at, you know, more extreme optimistic levels. You know, also yields compared to comparable treasury securities are at historically low levels. Corporate default rates are still below historic averages, but are starting to inch higher, and prices are high, which limits the upside potential. So Wayne, I'm just encouraging investors to know what they own and specifically how they are receiving that income or dividend yield from their portfolio, and also be comfortable with the level of risk that is being taken.
I see. There was a bipartisan agreement in the U.S. Senate with a specific plan to curtail mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. What are the details on that?
Yeah, there are still plenty of details to be hammered out here, but significant steps were made this week to eventually shut down, bailed out Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And this has been an interesting story to me because Fannie and Freddie became symbols of the financial crisis, which required a total of $187 billion to be pumped into them to keep them afloat. And interestingly, the rebound in the housing market lately has turned their finances around, and they're now churning out huge profits. Actually, after this quarter's dividend payments, they will have repaid all of the bailout costs plus an additional $18 billion. And because of the significant profits they were providing, I was starting to wonder if Congress was going to drag their feet even longer on implementing serious reform. But the Senate agreement that you mentioned would slowly shrink the companies over the next 5 years and then replace them with a scale-back government guarantee for mortgages. The private sector, which would be banks and credit unions, would be left to take on a larger role. And this story is important for the average individual to be aware of because Fannie and Freddie have backed about 90% of all new mortgages since the financial crisis. And this support has helped to make home financing available and attractive to a lot of homebuyers lately. And with the private sector eventually taking on a more direct role, we'll need to see if there's any negative impact to the availability of financing or on mortgage rates in general.
Well, besides the bracket madness and basketball, any other items that people will be keeping an eye on this week?
Yeah, well, not much can top UVA being a number one seed in the upcoming basketball tournament and VCU being in the mix as well. But yeah, the Federal Reserve will be back in focus as they release its most recent policy statement on Wednesday, where analysts are expecting the Fed to continue tapering the quantitative easing program, which we've talked about before. Also, Fed Chair Janet Yellen will give her first press conference where everyone will be paying close attention to her message and any sign of change in policy or on short-term rates in general. But other than that, you know, make sure to catch VCU and Virginia, who both play on Friday in the first round of the tournament.
Okay, thanks to Andy Foldenauer sitting in for Brian Ford. Brian's report and Andy's report, not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide any legal or tax advice. Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Wayne.
88.9 WCVE.
On a Monday, this is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Officials in Crimea say